Hey everyone, this is John.
Oh, Warren.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet.
You probably wait out of my mouth.
Sure did. This is going to be the official show for the month of May 2021. So we'll talk about some news and some gossip, a bit of a twist on the formula this time. And then we'll talk about also some new releases and wrap it up with a preview of a few games that are coming out in the month of June.
Very good.
How are things, guys? You guys good?
Doing well.
Yeah?
I'm eating a Hershey's Cookies and Cream Bar. So life is great.
They're not a sponsor.
I thought you swallowed a bee or something.
I like that. Before we get into it, I do have to make a correction. So when we were talking about Wario Land, when we were doing the retro show.
Oh, why you fuck up?
I made the claim that Super Mario or Wario Land 3 is actually Super Mario Land 3, Wario Land 3. And that the actual naming convention is a little bit more confusing than that. So there is a Wario Land 1, and there is a Wario Land 2. Super Mario Land 3 is titled Super Mario Land, Wario Land. And after that, the Wario Land series drops the Super Mario Land from the title and just becomes Wario Land 2, Wario Land 3.
Confession time. I knew that to be the case.
Yeah, you said nothing.
I didn't want to make a scene.
You didn't want to air.
You said it with such an
authority. You're full of shit. You didn't know.
With such authority. I didn't know maybe to the full extent. I saw box art for Wario Land 1 and 2 when I was doing research. So I'm like, they exist. But maybe they're just like, they were Game Boy Advance. Or they were like, I don't know. I was just trying to be polite. You know, just trying to make sure I was eating with the proper fork over here. I'm sorry. Excuse you.
Don't ever apologize for being right. Nothing trumps America.
Right.
So we do have some new game announcements that we'll kick things off with. I got the list right here in front of me. So let's start with The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles. This is not a new game announcement in that it is a game that already existed. It is newly announced for coming to North America. This game is a Phoenix Wright-style game, except you're playing as Sherlock Holmes in a sort of Victorian-inspired Japan. It got a release date for July 27th of this year. It came out, I believe it came out 2 or 3 years ago in Japan, and it was starting to... I think since the day it came out in Japan, there was a sort of question around whether or not they were going to be able to release it outside of Japan because of how copyright laws work for these properties outside of Japan. Anyway, Capcom's bringing it over, and they're bringing it over on July 27th.
Oh, by the way, people should play Paradise Killer. Just bringing that up. It's a detective game. Much
yeah.
Like your, I bet you this Great Ace Attorney, for as much Sherlock Holmes that it has, doesn't have a double jump.
No, I would go so far as to say definitely does not have a double jump.
Yep. So I think, you know, Paradise Killer is your winner.
These Ace Attorney games don't even have a single jump. So, yeah, there's no jumping.
I mean, not even fit to publish.
Unplayable garbage.
This is, isn't this like a first property for them, too? Isn't this like an official Nintendo thing?
No, it's Capcom.
Oh, that explains it.
Yeah, they don't believe in jumping.
Yeah.
Can't jump in any Resident Evils.
Yeah, you know, they burned out all of their jumping with that Contra 3 game. You jump like a motherfucker in that.
You do. You front flips everywhere.
I know.
Oddventure is coming to Switch in 2022. This is a little indie RPG that I thought was worth mentioning. It has a lot of overtones of Earthbound, the sort of like contemporary setting and aliens and sci-fi and stuff. Oh, Wes, you chimed in there for real quick. What did you think?
It looks interesting. It's I don't really know what to say about it. It does look and feel kind of a lot like Earthbound, and then it just gets weird.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way of putting it, because it does kind of have the sort of bizarre elements of aliens and more sci-fi stuff that you don't typically see in the sort of...
The trailer doesn't have sci-fi stuff.
It's got aliens.
I didn't see any aliens.
Are you sure? Pretty sure there's alien enemies that you're fighting.
There's a crow in Whitey Tidies.
That's clearly an extraterrestrial.
And a gnome that lifts his beard and flashes you.
I stand by.
And there's a big wolf, and they're in the woods. I haven't seen a single alien.
I'm gonna bet that every single one of those things you mentioned are aliens. I'm doubling down here.
I'm doubling down. Zap me.
Super Animal Royale is coming out TBA. No official release date for that one yet. But it's a
big ripoff of Fortnite.
Yeah, it's a big brawler game, like a battle royale brawler with animals. Thought it was kind of a funny premise. I'm not gonna play it. Are you gonna play it?
No, I'm not playing it.
It reminds me of a series that came out a long time ago called Happy Tree Friends.
Oh, sure.
Which was supposed to be like this kind of cutesy thing that gets really gory out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I had to say. This doesn't look particularly entertaining, and I'm not crazy about the whole Battle Royale format.
Nah, neither am I. I can't think of a single game where it's had a Battle Royale mode that I've engaged with.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's push ahead.
Mm-hmm.
This the next one, Absolove, End of the Gods. That one's coming out quarter three of this year. This is like a first-person horror action game. It's got a really like...
this looks pretty cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, like a cult style to it.
Yeah, I was watching this and I was like, well, Ryan's going to be all about this.
Well, I feel like a few months ago I was saying that Nintendo just doesn't have enough horror content. Mm. Not enough scary games. Like, they don't even have a horror section in their eShop. You can't even, like, search it as a tag. So they're probably going to call this an action-adventure game.
Yeah, probably.
Like, holy
dating
shit.
Dating some.
Right? But yeah, this trailer really sold me. It looks cool as fuck.
Yeah, I really dig the sort of vibe of this horror game. I wonder how much they're going to strike between like suspense horror and gore, or like how much action there's going to be, because there are points where like it looked like you're doing like some casting or stuff with your hands. If it gets too actiony, it might not be for me, but I really dig the style.
Mm-hmm.
Haven Park is coming out August 5th. This one, I put it on the list because it reminded me a lot of A Short Hike, which is a game that I talked about last year, a little penguin dude trying to get to the top of a mountain. It has a lot of the same visual elements. I don't know, it does also have like Animal Crossing vibes, where it looks like you're just kind of like building out your town or summer camp thing. So,
that I saw as well, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like it's a very bucolic, nature-y thing going on here. Mm-hmm. Sure, it'll be very pleasant to play.
Yeah, just kind of an interesting visual style that grabbed me and reminded me of.
Perhaps a palate cleanser for those who also get Absolove, the End of Gods.
That'd be an interesting 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
The Amazing American Circus is coming out August 12th.
This looks weird.
It does look weird, and it's on the list because it looks weird. Like, it's a card-based RPG, but you're not fighting anyone. You're just, like, pleasing the crowd.
Entertaining, and that's how you're doing damage and things like that, which is...
It's a really interesting premise for one of these sort of, like, card RPGs.
It looks like a... Looks kind of like Darkest Dungeon meets Slay the Spire.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's all I
remember. The end.
The end.
Well, did you catch the language that they also called it a tycoon game? So that it's going to be kind of like a roller coaster theme park tycoon
style. So
you're
going to be building the circus?
I guess so, yeah.
You're a traveling circus. Like, they show, like, this old map of America, and I suppose that they're... You're traveling around on railways built by Chinese slave labor. And which
is the American way.
I need to get back to
In this game,
Shanghai Noon for a second. Just 1 second here. So
can't get enough Walton Goggins.
Got enough of that Chinese slave labor.
So here's the thing. The sort of premise around the villain of that movie is he is an expatriate from China who then goes to America. And Chinese slave labor to build the railroads in this country was a thing that happened. It's definitely a wrong thing that happened. And the way that this movie is set up is this expatriate from China is the guy in America who is...
Oh, so we're trying to take the blame off us?
They're putting the blame on this other guy, and...
You enslaved yourselves, guys. All right, it wasn't us.
No, we didn't do that.
We didn't do that. You did it to yourselves in our territory.
Yeah.
That's messed up. Along with the one British guy who gets iced early on in the movie...
Sure. Who's doing like the trafficking for the guy?
So of course we can blame the British Empire as well for this.
as long as not the Americans' fault.
Yeah,
is the bottom line here.
Yeah. We're just, brave patriots. Man.
We're just over here taming the West. We're not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Great American Circus. They're traveling around, and I was guessing like the sort of tycoon part of it was maybe you're doing like some recruiting and adding acts to your circus. Maybe that's kind of your deck building.
Well, it also seems like you spend time like behind the scenes with the wagons circled, working on your characters too.
Hmm.
So that's another interesting component that I'm not really sure how is going to play out. But it looks fun. Oh, and did you guys see the actual stands? Like, the people in the stands? They're not all, like, just humans. There's, like...
Aliens?
Werewolves and elemental creatures.
Aliens.
Aliens.
What does this do with the aliens?
Anything that's not a human. I'm just saying it's an alien.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So, we can come across a game that has actual aliens in here, like werewolves.
Maybe. No, those are supernatural creatures. Elementalis. That's coming out next month in June.
Yeah, this one had very Link to the Past vibes.
Yeah, what'd you guys think?
I think I played Link to the Past and it was a fun game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to do it again.
This, real derivative. Like, almost, it's like it's a half step above just a pure asset flip.
Yeah.
That's why this one's on the list.
Oh, it's Link of the Past?
Yeah. Or any, like, 2D top-down Zelda game.
I mean, you literally... You Golden Sun a little bit.
Yeah?
Because you got your little guy moving around, you gotta burn the bush and move on.
I guess.
I was going to say, you wake up out of bed and you pick up a sword, which right. is one step less than what you do in Link to the Past, where you just go fall down a well and find a guy with a sword.
Right.
I mean, it's very lazy. He just opens, like, the wardrobe and pulls a sword out. It's like, yeah, let's go.
Imagine where you're at in your life if you open an empty wardrobe and there's just one sword and you're like, time to start the day.
When I own my mansion one day, I will have just one random wardrobe for a sword. that's a thing now.
It's like, do I bring the flail? I don't know what kind of weather we're going to have.
But yeah, this game, I hope they have some more original ideas in it than they showed. Because what they showed in this trailer, it's very evocative.
It is, but at the same time... It's one of those things where it's tough because it is just kind of a repeat of assets. It looks very, very similar. They're ripping them off, but at least they're ripping off a good game.
Yeah, I suppose. So
it's probably still going to be good and worth playing.
Okay.
It's like a twist on... Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's like the RC Cola.
I mean, the character is named Lonk.
I don't know. Lonk and Felta. Anyway, let's move over to the last one on the list, Trigger Witch. This is a dual stick shooter where you play as a witch with a machine gun. It's coming out in summer of 2021. There's got to be some dual wielding in this game.
It's just funny because the name didn't trigger in my head. Ha. Until I was watching this and a witch pulled out a gun and I was super excited.
Right.
I was on board. It's like, fuck yeah, let's go.
They hit you with it early in the trailer, but like not immediately. So like you're watching the trailer.
It's kind of like the Oddventure trailer as well. Where they're like, oh, it's all cutesy and stuff, and then sudden death.
Yeah, it's just murder. It turns into a bullet hell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought, see, this is something where they're taking an established formula, like a dual stick shooter, and then putting their own twist on it because, like, hey, you're shooting things and you're a witch. And just like that little twist is enough. Whereas, you know, Elementalis, let's just put some aliens in it or something. I don't know.
I mean, I guess maybe the one thing that you do see a lot, just because I am quickly revisiting the trailer,
yeah,
is that it zooms out big.
Mm.
You get a really big sense of scale that you probably, like, I mean, in Link to the Past, it was always a fixed camera, and this one you oftentimes find yourself, like, 5-10 times the size of what would have been a Link to the Past environment that you're kind of navigating through. Not to say that justifies its existence, but, you know. There is, I guess, something there to make it.
I mean, at least it's not like a ripoff of like Shaq Fu or something. I mean, come on, let's.
Yeah. I mean that would be kind of cool though. who would we get for the Shaq Fu sequel? Do we just do Shaq again? Do we get Dwight Howard? He's available,
what
right?
Isn't there that Charles Barkley RPG that people
I don't know.
Like? There was like a Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, I think it's called. I'm not kidding. There's like this Charles Barkley RPG that people like. And I feel like that if, you know, you need... And because you guys don't probably watch a lot of TNT basketball, but the halftime show is Shaq and this guy Ernie and Kenny and then Charles Barkley.
Yeah, there sure is.
They fight all the time.
Barkley Shut Up and Jam Guide, and it's a freeware yeah. role-playing game.
There it is.
That was a freeware?
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it came out back in January of 2008. game's been around a while.
I feel like we should probably just get LeBron James. He's already doing Space Jam. Might as well just rope him into it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we've got a couple of release date updates just today, actually, hot off the presses. Pokemon Diamond Pearl Remake, so it's coming out November 19th.
All right.
I don't think it's a big surprise to anyone. It's going to be the probably the big November game. And then Pokemon Legends Arceus is coming out January 28th. Wow. A mere 2 months after the Pokemon Diamond Pearl. What do you guys think? Like, do you think it's a mistake to release the game 2 months after their other game?
I think I'll never get over Owen Wilson saying
wow.
That's what I think at this moment.
I really want to learn that drinking game. It's not a tough drinking game. I looked it up. That was a legit drinking game they played in the bathtub scene.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I thought you were just talking about a drinking game every time Owen Wilson says, wow.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing to learn there. I just told you.
No, that's just liver poisoning.
I mean, he dies 30 minutes into Armageddon, but yeah, you'd already be drunk.
Wait, I forgot he was in that. Oh, shit.
Yeah, he's part of the first crew that dies.
And, like, unceremonious, like, just, like, oh, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah,
oh,
like, right, off screen, you just see his body.
Yeah, and you're like, well, now, all right, we're just talking about it.
He dies in a crash.
He did his character development just wipe him out instantly.
Yeah, they're going to blow up an asteroid, he dies in a plane crash. Yeah. It's like in Independence Day, the Harry Connick Jr. character, alien invasion, how does he die? He suffocates in his own plane. Anyway.
Wait, what were you saying? You're
Pokemon Legends Arceus.
True.
2 months after the Diamond Pearl remakes. I mean, I don't think it's really going to hurt sales all that much.
I think people who
are all in for Pokemon. It's just...
It's Diamond Pearl. I mean, you can finish that up and... That doesn't take terribly long to wrap up.
Mm. Should we have a race?
Wait, who can clear through Diamond Pearl?
Yeah, a full national decks. I'm saying.
Get everything? Oh, yeah. Shit.
Aren't you going to need a trade, though?
We'll trade with you.
Keep in mind, there's like all four of the first gen assholes are back that need to evolve. Like Geodude, Alakazam,
yeah,
Machamp, Gengar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to deal with all of those motherfuckers. And then you got on top of that stuff that'll be part of your trivia that's coming up.
Ooh.
In your quiz show.
Yes.
So we can't go too deep into that.
I'm all pumped. Right,
well, we can't discuss that now. Well, now I got to do some homework.
The less you do, the better it'll
be. Do some studying.
I think there's a pretty decent chance this Pokemon Legends Arceus game sees a delay or two. Just because they might not have to release it in January. Or...
It is the God Throne Pokemon, though.
Like, it's true.
Arceus, or Arceus, as you mispronounce it.
should we say Arceus?
Is that
our canon?
It's
fine. I don't care.
I think they said Arceus. I always said Arceus. I think they said Arceus in the trailer.
Yeah. I think they said both.
just like at the beginning they said Arceus, at the end they said Arceus.
Yeah,
just to,
that would be great. How inclusive.
This is where they also say Blastois.
I love it, Blastois.
Lepra.
Charmander.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
I feel like that was rushed. I was like, I want to contribute, but
I think
I'm not clever enough to come up with Blastois.
Charmeleon.
Charmeleon. Oh, I like that one. That was good.
I mean, I guess you could look at it the inverse way. Like, if they release this game at the end of January, they still have 2 more months in the fiscal year to sell copies and make the shareholders happy.
That's the thing they're missing all of the Christmas stuff.
It's true.
You know, people tend to buy a lot of games.
But they're also hitting up that Christmas gift card crowd.
Yeah. Well, fair point.
Fourth week into January?
Yeah, it's a little late. Kids are impatient.
Yeah, they've already started school again.
Yeah.
But...
They're like, no, I need Haven Park and Elementalis.
That's what the kids are asking for. Hey, we have an audience. It's very art house. This is our niche.
Yeah,
our
three people that listen.
I don't know. If it were me, if I ran the Pokemon company.
If you had your druthers?
Yeah. If I ran the Pokemon company, yeah. I'd be like April 1st. No, beginning of the next fiscal year. Let's come out the gate fast. But what do I know? I'm just a guy.
To make us wait an extra 2.5 months?
Yeah, what a
yeah,
dick.
I would specifically you two
what?
Is what I would do. I'd
make
both
of
you wait longer. And I wouldn't fix the frame rate of the monster animations either.
I'm fine with that.
But that's a couple of quick updates. Monster Hunter Rise has had 2 updates since we last talked about it.
Oh.
Added some monsters and missions. They raised the hunter cap and stuff. And
Yeah.
Typical monster. And I don't think there's anything unexpected or earth-shattering.
I haven't turned it on since then.
I'm pretty much done. I think I've tapped out of Monster Hunter. I might have already mentioned this. There's just too many other games coming out. I enjoyed my time with it. I think it did between 35 and 40 hours. I've had enough.
You haven't even gotten to the actual crux of the game, though.
No, I haven't. But I've had enough.
Yeah, because you were just I'm going to do every little thing instead of just doing what I need to move on.
Well, yeah, I was trying to learn the game. Yeah. And I think I figured it out well enough. Yeah. But there's only so many times that I can have these battles of attrition against giant monsters. It's not my style. Yeah, lots of people like that sort of thing. Cool. There's nothing wrong with the game. Just wasn't for me. And there's also a Mario Party update. They added online play.
The fuck?
2 years later. 2 years after the game comes out, you're able to play it online.
Wow. All right. How do you think that happens?
A pandemic?
Because, no, who is sitting at the office and be like, you know what we should do? We haven't looked at Mario Party in a minute.
I mean, it was probably one of those things that they bookmarked, the game was being released.
They have a list of the board in the office. They're like, oh shit, we did forget
that. There
was
one last thing they need to do for Mario Party before they cross off the list. They're like, we'll get that after release. It'll be a post-release update. We'll do it in 3 months. We'll hit the online switch and people will be able to play online. And then a pandemic happened and they're like, oh shit. Then the day they all came back in the office, they're like, oh right, we're supposed to turn that Mario Party online on. Now we have it.
The creator of Diablo, or one of the developers, David Brevik, said that happened, where what was then, I guess, Blizzard at the time, he had originally built Diablo to be a turn-taking game.
Huh.
And they were like, no, we want it to be real-time. What do we have to do to make it real-time? And he was like, oh man, that's going to be so much fucking work. He's like, you know, you're going to have to pay us a lot more to do this. And he said basically in one night, he's just like, I just had to flip a switch. I'm sure that, yeah, like you're saying, they already had the online capacity to do it. You know, they were just like, let's fucking rake them over the coals.
Hey, like we always say, making games is easy.
Yep.
Anyone can do it.
I just like how they added that that chat support, too.
Right? Yeah, all that chat. Mm-hmm. So just pick up your phone and chat with anybody.
Oh, how frustrating. Look, that's not even a game where you win out of skill. That's just a game where you just win out of, I don't know, anger.
Yeah, arbitrary.
I've lost the entire time playing that game and still won at the very end. Pity stars carried me to first place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you took the fewest steps or something and you had a couple
bullshit.
Of
bullshit.
Landed on the most red squares.
Right, yeah. I mean, come on. So, now, instead of it, being people that you know, it's just total, you know.
Took the most randos.
Beat up your ass. Yeah.
All right, gospel or gossip?
It's a good one. A
little bit different because there are no real.
Should we play any steaks on this? Is there any steaks we can do?
Yes, he's got some steaks in the freezer.
Oh. I do have a steak in the freezer.
You even got the kind that I got too because it was on sale. It was the top sirloin.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing looking at his freezer?
I had to put my drink in the freezer because it was warm. But at any rate, they'll get this.
He just walks in and goes to the freezer.
He just grabbed a couple of waffles. He was just munching on them while we were playing Streets of Rage. He didn't put any syrup on them or anything. Yeah. He just toasted some waffles. And
I didn't even toast them. It sharpens the teeth if you do them
cold. I do eat cold waffles, though.
You do?
Yeah.
Straight out of the freezer?
Yeah, I've done that.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing. That top sirloin slab you buy is the same as the fillets that they charge $2.99 more for a pound. It's crazy. So you buy the thing and you have a knife and you cut it in half and congrats, you've now filleted your top sirloin.
Yeah.
I'm making a face that is as if to say huzzah.
How has no one else caught on to this?
I performed a magic trick. Look at me.
I don't know. I mean, but if it's me, I typically go for a London broil because I like a thicker steak.
Yeah.
And
yeah, John likes them thick.
You know I do. And, if you know you pan sear it and it's still not done, just give it a couple minutes on each side. And if it's not done enough in the middle, just stick it in the oven for a little bit.
Sure. My thing that I do now is one, I pre-salt. I salt it on each side and then let it sit for 30 minutes to really absorb the salt. And I also do that trick now where you sear the sides of it before you actually drop it in.
Oh, interesting.
So, if you just the edges of it, if you put each edge in for about 15, 20 seconds, you'll get a nice char all the way around the steak, and then you drop it in, so the entire thing is just coated in char. And
do you
still
do the baste of the butter on it?
Just I don't use I don't do the basting thing, but I do use a lot of fucking butter. That's another...
You're supposed to baste it. You turn the pan sideways, take a spoon, and just lap it onto it.
Wes, do you do that?
I don't. I toss it in an air fryer.
There you go. So you can stop judging me right now.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to help you, all right? Don't let my laziness ruin that's your culinary experience.
No, that's it. I think I make a very good steak. But that's just me.
You have to make me a steak sometime.
For sure. I'll do it with the top sirloin. How much butter do you have right now? And do you have any garlic?
let me ask Mika, because she does like to munch on it.
Yeah. On the butter? She pretty much runs
Wait, have I never told this story on the podcast?
She just eats butter? Like okay. A stick of butter?
So, years ago.
She back, may have.
Years ago, back in the old house. You already know the end of the story, but I'm going to tell it anyway.
Oh, I do know the story. But yeah, go on. It's a fun story.
She must have been two or three. She was walking. So Ripley would always get up super early. So when she did, I would go into the living room, turn on Sesame Street for her. She could watch it. And then I would go back to sleep for a little while. I did that. Then Mika came in. And Mika comes in and she's just eating this hunk of mozzarella cheese. And I roll over in bed, like look over at her like, all right, go watch Sesame Street and eat your cheese. It's like, I don't give a shit if you eat cheese. It's before noon, but whatever, fuck it. So I go back to sleep, and then it had to be like 20 minutes later, I like shoot up in bed, like, oh, we don't have mozzarella cheese. So I go out of the bedroom, through the kitchen, and I see a wrapper for a stick of butter lying on the floor.
Good Lord.
And I walk into the living room, and she's just sitting there, it's gone. She's eating this entire stick of butter. I'm Googling on my phone frantically, can kids die from eating too much butter? And of course, like, the first result is, no, but don't let your kids eat a stick of butter, you fucking idiot.
How would she die from a stick of butter?
I don't know.
It's a lot of cholesterol.
He's going to like live 2 years less. It just takes off on the back end.
It's like the saturated fat content of that must be off the charts.
Hmm.
But yeah. You know, if anybody can tank it, though, it's Mika.
Yeah.
You know.
She probably just had like some weird poops that day or something.
Yeah.
So, it just slid out real easily. Gospel or gossip?
All right. Wow.
Speaking of being
gospel, I'll call gospel on that story.
So, a little bit different this time because there were no significant or noteworthy Nintendo rumors. So, I have three news stories here, and you guys can decide if they are real news stories or if I have made them up.
Oh.
This time, it is either gospel or gossip that I'm fabricating. So, let's kick it off. Number one. Oh, and let's take turns. Who wants to go first?
I'll be player A.
Okay, player A goes first.
I'll be player one.
Okay.
What are our names? We get names.
There are no names. Never mind. We're not taking turns. We're not doing this.
I'm Raleigh Fingers. We're baseball players. I'm Raleigh Fingers. Go on.
So Nintendo has announced a new Labo kit, Labo Pets. So Labo Pets is where you get your kit and you make a cardboard dog or
gossip,
head.
Gossip.
You get
just straight gossip.
Wes is saying gossip. You make a cardboard dog or hedgehog that you then can walk around using the Switch touchpad as a controller, and the Joy-Cons go into the legs of the cardboard to help it move around.
Wow.
Wes is saying gossip.
Yeah, what a load of shit.
Wes is saying it's a huge crock of shit.
Who is he, though?
He's
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker. Okay.
I know who that is.
Okay.
Good. just to be different, I'm going to say it's gospel.
It is, of course, gossip. Of course, yeah, it's ridiculous.
I think so. It's sold so poorly.
I mean, that's also kind of traumatizing. Like, oh, look, you just murdered your dog.
It got crushed. It accidentally got a little wet, and now it's melting.
Yeah.
All right, story number two. Nintendo has announced a GamePad Plus for Switch, which essentially turns it into a Wii U. So, the current Switch console stays docked, and the there's a smaller version, smaller than a Switch Lite, about the size of a DS Lite, actually, that stays separate, and you can use that as a controller for the dock Switch and have a screen on it. And they specifically marketing this for Mario Maker 2, because it loses a lot of the Wii U functionality without being able to switch back and forth. Along with this, they're also updating Mario Maker 2, adding Super Mario Land assets to celebrate the release of this thing. coming out later this summer. Oh, and the Mario Maker 2 update is also going to feature the Wario Land zombie transformation in honor of them reviving their dead system, the Wii U.
I'm going to say it's a half and half.
Okay.
I think the screen's a load of shit.
Okay.
But the some of the add-ons and stuff you mentioned...
The Mario Maker
seem
update?
Seem plausible. Man.
Okay.
I'm going to stick... I'm Raleigh Fingers. with gospel on this, because that is an elaborate lie. That is props to you if that is a lie, because you made up a very complex lie.
It's a 100% lie. None of that is true.
Damn.
There is no Mario Maker update. There is no Wii U controller for Switch. Mm-hmm. All right, number three.
This is a gospel or gossip. This is just Job lying to us for 20 minutes.
Actually, we need to back up a little bit, because one of the new game announcement trailers is fake. I made it up, and I posted it to YouTube. I'm lying.
Gossip. I was about to say, gossip.
Nintendo announced a new Skyward Sword amiibo featuring Zelda and a Loftwing and a little amiibo stand. It is a premium-priced amiibo. It's going to be $25. It will enable a feature that will transport players from the ground in Skyward Sword into the sky, wherever they want. When you tap the amiibo, and then it will allow you to reverse that, kind of like set yourself off a fast travel point on the ground, and you can, when you're done doing whatever you need to do in the sky, you can go back to where you left off, even inside a dungeon. This will work, and you have to tap the amiibo each time that you want to do this fast travel. And this feature is not confirmed for within the game. You can only use it by tapping the amiibo. Gospel or gossip?
I'm going to say gospel on this one.
Okay.
That seems plausible.
I too will say gospel. That seems like a fitting tie-in.
That is gospel.
Okay.
This is a thing that is happening. There is going to be a fast travel feature in Skyward Sword locked behind a $25 toy.
Yeah, that's stupid. It does sound something stupid.
This is the one that Wes is going to play, right?
Yeah, definitely. He's getting the amiibo,
this isn't
too.
Fucking happening.
Way to go, dude. That's like $90.
I'm really looking forward to a report on this.
You know, let's put some stakes on here. No studying for the poker show. But if I lose this time, I will get Skyward Sword. But if I win, I get to pick a game you play. And you got to play through it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, dude, there's this cheap pony game that's actually available for the Switch.
What was the name of that game where you're hitting on other dads?
Oh, I've already played that. I mean, I'll play it again if you want. But yeah, I'm down for that.
All right.
Winner of the Pokemon show gets to bestow a punishment. How terrible for you. You have to play a Zelda game.
God, I hate that game, though.
But yeah, get ready to hate it more, because you're going to really miss that fast travel, because you're not going to be able to use it. So
was
it's
in the first one?
No, it's a new feature. It's a new feature that they're making for the HD version, and then they're taking it out and then saying, buy this toy, and then you can use it.
Yeah.
It's, so far, there hasn't been any...
This is the game you get to play if you lose. I am going to make it so...
No.
Oh, Pony Princess.
No. Because I'm playing a game that actually is fine.
And
it's got four...
Even though I hate it.
4.5 out of 5 stars, man. I'm not going to make John... It's going to pick something.
Like, maybe Infamous. Make John sit through Infamous.
You know
something
what?
Like,
there's this assumption that there's a chance in hell that I'm going to lose. I'm not.
No stunning. You're not allowed to look at that joke.
Okay. I'm totally going to trip up at the end like Alakazam that one time.
Enter the world of fantasy and reality in this new family-friendly game, The Unicorn Princess. In The Unicorn Princess, you will get to experience both real life as a horse rider and your dream world as a princess in the open world game of horses and unicorns.
Right.
How do they know? How do they know about my dreams?
Oh man, you're gonna live them in this one.
Alright, why don't that's it. That's all we got. I'm not sure who won. It doesn't matter. Why don't we take a break and then come back with some new releases?
Okay.
Okay, we got new releases. I'm gonna go through the list real quick. And if you guys have anything to say about any of them,
is there anything I'm reading?
No, not for the new releases. For
any
the
games new releases for May or June?
New releases for May.
Good.
New releases for June. Other stuff we're gonna have Westry. Time permitting. We'll see how we're doing here. If we want to keep going. But there's only one of the new release games that I have been playing, and we'll get to that one toward the end. But there are some games that came out that I at least want to acknowledge their existence. There's a game called Rise Eterna. That one came out on the 13th. This one has not gotten very good reviews. It's only gotten like 3 critical reviews, and the Metacritic score is not great. But it looks like a little Fire Emblem clone.
You okay there? You're like...
it looks competent enough. But
that's the spirit.
It's a game like where I would roll the dice on it, like if it goes on a deep discount, because if I spend a few bucks and it turns out to be trash, whatever, I'll just move on with my life. And it also depends on like if I ever get the time to do this sort of thing. But there's too many new releases. But anyway, it's one that I at least stuck on a wish list to see if it goes on a deep discount anytime soon. Subnautica and Subnautica Below Zero, those games are out. Any comments?
I mean, they're on my radar, but I probably won't get around to them.
Okay.
I'd like to get them at some point.
The Famicom Detective Club games came out on the 14th as well. Those are the text adventure games that Nintendo put out, the first-party ones. Aerial Knights Never Yield came out on the 19th. I played the demo of that one. I talked about the demo on a previous show. I ended up not getting it. There's just too many other games that I'm trying to get to, and... It didn't review particularly well. It kind of got mediocre reviews, so I ended up just moving on with my life. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance came out on the 20th. That's a game that people have heard of, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard of Baldur's Gate.
It's like a D&D style RPG, isn't it?
Yes, as I understand it, the mechanics are very tabletop.
Layers of Fear 2 also came out on the 20th. First-person horror adventure game. There we go, another horror game.
Nice. The genre's building.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently May is the spookiest month of the year.
this game, it doesn't have the same sort of occult visual style as much as the other game that we talked about does. It also doesn't seem to be as very like action oriented either. I didn't see any like combat oriented stuff in the trailer for this one. That other game, of course, being Absalom: End of Gods, which is also. I don't know. What do you think is like the more like horror style name? End of Gods or Layer of Fear? I think End of Gods is more occult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Layers of Fear is
like layer. What does that mean though? It's so stupid.
It's like a scary onion.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, like that's not a particularly fear-inducing title because it lacks that kind of obscure abstract name.
Could be a grouchy parfait.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what a good horror title would be. I mean, like, it's not like the ones that we like have great names. Resident Evil, Silent Hill. Like, are they particularly great?
Fatal Frame.
Fatal Frame. Yeah, I mean, they kind of convey in a couple of words a sinister intention.
Yeah. Just adjective noun.
Yeah.
Knockout City, that one's out on the 21st, as well as Miitopia. You can,
Do you remember, by the way, we make fun of that Owen Wilson wow thing?
Yeah.
Because it's from that SNL trailer. Do you remember the name of the movie that they were making fun of?
No.
That, what's-his-face was gonna... It was called The Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intent.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now that's a horror game. Let's go.
The Midnight Coterie.
They were making fun of, like, a Wes Anderson movie, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne came out on the 24th. That's the one I've been playing. It came out yesterday at time of recording. And I have put about 4 hours into it, so I don't have too much to report.
It's pretty meh.
Yeah. Sorry, I put 4 hours into it.
Yeah, it's pretty meh, right?
I'm liking it so far. It is definitely a PS2 game in higher resolution because you don't get very detailed environments or character models. Like this was like a B or a C tier PS2 game, and now they've just up-resed it and brought it over to modern consoles. So my expectations are not high. But as far as the gameplay goes, it's surprisingly a lot more like more modern Shin Megami Tensei or Persona games than I thought it was going to be. It doesn't have some of like the conveniences like having just like your compendium or Pokedex of demons that you're able to re-recruit. but it does have all of the things like the conversations to recruit demons and demon fusion and leveling up to learn new skills and being able to pass those skills along to your demons that you fuse together. The battle system, a lot like Shin Megami Tensei games, like the other ones that I've played, if you are exploiting an enemy weakness, like using a super effective move on an enemy, you are getting yourself some more turns. Because the battles play out like you have your party of four, maximum of four, and you do individual commands and they're executed individually. And then if you're using super effective moves, you're giving yourself the opportunity for more turns. When you've exhausted all yours, then the enemy gets to go. And there are times where you can eliminate everyone before they even get a turn, which is nice. I had heard a lot about this game, about it being very difficult. I haven't really experienced the difficulty spike so far. There was a point where I wasn't sure where I was supposed to go, so I kind of had to like poke around in the dark and ended up going into a place where I shouldn't be yet and ran into... I'm level 14, the enemies are level 33, so I had to run out of there real quick. But I eventually found the way I was supposed to go, and I haven't really gotten to a point where I am needing to do any grinding or needing to really reconfigure the shape of my party in order to progress. We'll see what happens when I get into another boss fight. Maybe that's when the difficulty spikes come in. But, you know, I do spend, an okay amount of time grinding, but I don't really do it for the purpose of explicitly gaining levels. There is there are the dungeons that you go into, and there's an auto map feature, and you'll run around and you like all these different branching paths. It's like a maze, and I like to fill everything in. So as I'm filling everything in, I'm getting into battles and I just fight them. So it's been pretty smooth sailing so far in terms of the difficulty, and having the skills I need in order to progress. But yeah, the environments, I think I mentioned, are not detailed. It is very simplistic. A lot of like blank corridors that you go down.
So it's Final Fantasy 13. No, not 13. What was it? 12? Which one did we play that was garbage?
The thing with Final Fantasy 12, it's not like things were undetailed. A lot of it was recycled. Yeah. You were seeing a lot of the same thing over and over again because they're trying to create this big open world on a PS2. Hmm. So
they're just reusing like Spyro the Dragon assets?
That'd be pretty funny.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. But you look at a game like Shin Megami Tensei 3 and then Final Fantasy 10, and it's surprising that they're even on the same system with what Square was able to do with a game like Final Fantasy 10. But Atlas does not have Square's money, or at least they didn't back in 2004. But I'll get back to more on that one in some more detail when we do the mini show and I'm a bit deeper into it. But let's go ahead and keep plowing through. Crying Suns came out on the 27th, or is coming out at time of recording here. This is a grid-based tactics game, and it's got this hyper-detailed pixel art, and that's the thing that stood out to me the most, is it looks like it's got the pixel art style of something like Narita Boy, which is a game that we talked about a few months ago, or something like maybe even a Hyperlight Drifter, but not quite as, I suppose, abstract as a Hyperlight Drifter. And it's, spaceships and stuff and robots. So, I don't know, it's got a cool art style to it. Pathway is also coming out tomorrow, a time of recording here, on the 27th. And this is another tactics game. And it's kind of like CrossCode meets Hard West, which are a couple games we've talked about, where it's like set in the Old West, but it's like cartoony pixel art, and it's very like... ornate pixel art. There's a lot going on the screen. Hmm. Kind of the inverse of Shin Megami Tensei 3, where it's very detailed. Wonder Boy, Asha, and Monster World is coming out on the 28th. Another Wonder Boy game on the Switch. And then the Text Adventure World's End Club is also out on the 28th. But those are the new releases.
Okay.
Pretty diverse month. Wes, you have some new releases too.
I have one.
Do it.
But really? It's not even a Nintendo game.
That's okay. We got time.
All right. Well, I picked up today off just a sheer impulse. I wasn't even planning on doing this, but I was like, let's try. I picked up Biomune, which you're a small little hamster. This game was announced years ago, and then it got delayed, and then all of a sudden, just like, boom, here it is.
Was this a Kickstarter game? Oh, no, this is THQ Nordic. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, they announced this years ago, and it looked really cool and everything like that, and then we just heard nothing about it. And then just boom, here it is. It was just caught me off guard when it came out.
So how much have you played so far?
An hour, maybe.
Okay.
Which I did a little bit in the character setup. I was trying to figure out what was going on with that. And then I'm pretty much just about to get through basically the tutorial area.
Is there like a character customization at the beginning?
Not a ton of customization. It's very, very minor. So you can pick different breeds from six. And that's pretty much going to determine your starting stats. Kind of like a Dark Souls game. Which they had different ones. One based on Jack of all trades kind of thing. He's kind of pretty balanced. Got strength oriented, intelligent oriented, blah, blah, blah. And they do have a little difference of an appearance. Because they're different breeds of whatever the fuck this thing is.
And this little rodent dude?
Yeah, a little rodent guy. And then after that, they really adjust kind of things around for you. So you'll pick, you'll get this wheel, and you can adjust this this marker on the wheel around to adjust additional stats where you want to go. So if you want to push heavier in a particular stat, you can. And that does change their kind of appearance a little bit as well. Like, if you go heavy strength, the guy gets a little bit buffer and everything like that. Or if you go agility, he gets a little slimmer and everything. I went intellect for a little bit just when I moved my bar to intellect, his face got longer and it was really weird. And then you pick your starting class. So kind of like your build and abilities are going to be unlocking. I went with a saboteur, which is kind of like a rogue kind of thing. Just two little daggers and moving around with an agility
so
heavy.
You pick like your character sort of build and then your class?
It's weird. Yeah, you pick your breed, which is going to determine your base starting stats.
Okay.
And then you kind of adjust your stats a little bit, very minorly. And then you pick your class. So you want to pick a class that's going to complement that. Because they have like a commando, which is kind of like your big shooty guy. Saboteur, which is like a little knife guy. Psy something, your mage. They have a sentinel, which is kind of like your tank. And something else. I forget what it was called. But they have a few different classes as well you can pick from.
Is this primarily a multiplayer game?
I don't know. There's not a whole lot I know about it. I'm kind of figuring it out as I'm going along. It just looked interesting. And it was one of those weird things where I just wanted to know what was going on with it. It's different.
It's a really nice looking game.
Yeah. The cutscenes were really nice. It had a brief issue with rendering when I first started. I think everything was kind of fuzzy, but it kind of rendered a little bit differently. It's tough to follow things because there isn't like a dependent lock-on system to it. So it's pretty much wherever you're moving your cursor with your right analog. So when you're aiming and shooting, you can press the button to like mash and fire rapidly, but it'll shoot whoever's closest to your cursor as long as your cursor is kind of on them. So it's easy. You can miss, but it will kind of lock on if your cursor is somewhat on them. It's weird how that works. And the same going when you're doing your melee attacks. There's no set lock-on. So if you, hit back, you're going to just jump to the guy behind you instead of keep hacking away on the guy in front of you. So there's a lot of... You got to pay attention about what's around you because it's an open area hack-and-slash kind of thing.
Yeah, from what I'm seeing, it's an action RPG single-player game. Also, EGN gives it a 2 out of 5. Game Informer, 6.5. GameSpot, 6. IGN, 6.
Yeah, so it's not reviewing well, but it's fine.
PC Gamer, 6 out of 10.
Yeah, it's not handling that well either. There's a couple of times where I'm, hacking away, and I'm, mashing the roll button, and nothing's happening.
Oh, no.
So it looks like if I'm in the middle of attack, I can't just interrupt that with a roll. I'm figuring things out. It's not that quick responsive, so the parry button's kind of awkward. So there's even a parry button. I don't know. I've only played for an hour. I was interested enough to this game to give it a shot. I didn't look up reviews or anything. If I looked up reviews, I probably would have waited, but I didn't look up reviews. I was too curious about the game.
That's okay. I'm doing it for you.
That's too late now.
I can see I can see why you would just kind of be taken in by the just the visual style. It's a really nice looking game. I dig it. But yeah, not reviewing well at all. Ugh.
That's a shame.
here we go. This is what I wanted. Biomutant is what happens when someone makes an Ubisoft game without Ubisoft's resources, experience, talent, or even willingness to take risks. With the exception of the art design, everything about Biomutant feels safe and familiar, but without the confidence or polish needed to make it effective. Safe, familiar, and hopelessly lost in the detritus-littered wasteland between design, document, and actual game.
You even have to throw in the word detritus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to keep giving it a shot. Harsh. Because that's money I won't get back.
Nope, you can't.
See, I need to start looking up reviews before my curiosity gets the better of me.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they're right.
Yeah, like, no. I probably will still enjoy it, because there's different builds you can do. There's different classes you can get.
And then, you know, like, even if you don't end up liking it, you always have Skyward Sword to look forward to in a couple months.
I'm not losing, you son of a bitch.
The stakes have never been higher.
I want one that's more than when we had to read Smut after losing.
No, I guess I'll make that happen.
Not too early. We have to read Smut during. That's not a punishment to us.
That's part of the question, too. So Ash was asleep in the Pokemon Center.
Offensively mediocre in multiple ways. Biomutant was a waste of resources. It's not terrible, but there's no excuse for it to be vapid and underwhelming. Oh, I love it.
Shit.
I love the bitterness. Anyway.
Oh, man. This is going to be a good game I'm going to play.
You're also watching a new release. You got new releases.
I'm watching all the release?
Castlevania.
Oh, yeah, I finished season 4.
Yeah, it just came out, didn't it?
That was wonderful. It was a joy. I really enjoyed that show. It was season 1, you weren't really too positive on the show when you were watching season 1.
I liked the animation. Like, it's a really nice-looking show, but I thought the dialogue was really stilted.
Yeah, season 1 was kind of tough with the dialogue and everything, and then season 2 kind of picked up a little bit, and then the last couple of fight scenes in season 2, the animation was... It was crazy. I really liked it. Season 3 was kind of its own little story. It was fun. And then season 4 just wrapped everything up really nicely. It was just a good way to end the show. I really like what they did with it. I really enjoyed it.
Spoil it. What happens in the end?
You want me to spoil it?
Yeah, I don't care.
Saint Germain.
Never heard of him.
Brings Dracula back in this weird rubus thing, which is a thing made of women and man parts.
Oh.
And brings him back out of hell by merging his soul with his wife's. And then Belmont kills it instantly. And then fights death.
Interesting. Fights death before, after Dracula.
Yeah, death is actually... kind of the force driving things in the background. And Death's trying to bring Dracula back, so Dracula will murder everybody, and so Death can feed on everybody, because that's what Death feeds on, is Death. And makes he sense. Does this awesome one-on-one fight.
Could you imagine if, like, we called our species meat?
Yeah.
Or vegetable? Like, yeah, we'll just name ourselves after what we eat. Yeah.
I was thinking, and this is a weird tangent, but I was thinking about this, and part of me was just very upset with the whole Pastafarian movement in general. Like, I know I'm not supposed to be upset with it, but fuck it, I am.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what... Is this some kind of pasta?
The flying spaghetti monster. Oh, you guys have heard of that? It's essentially a way to insult organized religion. Religions in general. Asking the fundamental question of where does it all come from, you know, I think is largely what religions aim to answer.
So, of course, the logical thing to do is make a joke out of it.
Right.
Cool.
That you're going to build and create orthodoxy around a faith that you don't even believe in is so, like, cynical and, like, nihilistic to a point, like, that they think that's a joke.
Yeah, you'd rather troll than look for answers.
But then again, that is the core foundation of religion is understanding where it is we all come from and what is our place in the universe and all of existence. Where do we stand, right? And what they're telling you is that meatballs exist, right? So spaghetti and meatballs, like, does that mean that there is an ancient alien race of Italians? Like, does that mean... I understand I'm not supposed to take their beliefs seriously, but they don't take their beliefs seriously, but fuck it, you gotta pursue this, right? So, like, what is the meat that makes up the meatball on the great spaghetti monster, the God King itself? Like, are there cows? Am I
having a stroke right now? What is happening conversation?
Where did they get the eggs to make the pasta?
You know? Like, and you're asking if we're all just meat. Like, I don't know. Like, what does that religion aim to ask about meat itself, right? Mm. Like, The meat that composes the meatball had to come from something, right?
Right.
So what animal was it? And then what made that animal? You know? That's where I'm going.
So Castlevania was fun. I enjoyed it. I was happy about it.
So yeah, we're all just... So.
Cool. Well, why don't we just plow ahead through new releases, our games that are coming soon. We're about an hour in. Do you guys want to bother doing any reading, or should we just kind of go say what we need to say and then close it out here?
Doesn't matter. We can do some
quick... That's all you, boss. Some quick hits on the games, I guess, if that's what you got going on.
All right, let's do some quick hits.
I got a good little playlist here of games that are coming out in June.
Okay.
So hopefully there's going to be a lot of crossover.
Ninja Gaiden Master Collection.
Sure enough, I saw the trailer for this. There are tits and ass all over it.
Oh, yeah, let me look up this trailer.
These are the Ninja Gaiden games that were coming out in the early and mid-2000s when games were becoming mature, which means they were being very immature.
Ninja Gaiden, what is it called?
Master Collection.
Ah.
So this is... it's this weird sort of thing about having that sort of sexualization of things. Like... We can all, and Wes, being as crass as he is, immediately goes to the internet to find these things. We can all admit that we like these sort of things, but how is this at all? Like, is it treating it artistically? You know, or is this...
At a certain point, it's not artistically. Or
is this just spectacle?
Yeah.
Like, are they giving us, like, commercial?
I think it's better when it's done for laughs. Like, if you ever played the game Blood Rain, you know, that's kind of an older game that I think... really overdoes it with sex and stuff, but as a joke. Like, they literally have shots that are framing where it's like you're watching a character and another character moves into a frame and it's her tits and they're jiggling and it's like the only part of on her body that's animated, you know? So it's, I mean,
you're the one who typically points that shit out, like, immediately whenever we're playing certain games, like Streets of Rage 4, you were just talking about that chick's thighs and boobs.
No, that's Atlee or Thaisa.
You know. Oh, and Scott Pilgrim.
The pixelated boobs just bouncing in the background. I didn't even catch that. You were just like, oh, look at those bouncing things.
They want you to notice. They want you to notice, or they wouldn't have done it.
Right. I'm happy they did.
But the games themselves are, I guess they're decently well-regarded action games, most times sort of noted for their difficulty. I don't know. This Ninja Gaiden series has never appealed to me. The closest I ever came to buying a Ninja Gaiden game was back, it must have been 2012, because the Wii U had just come out, and I had a GameStop gift card, and it was enough to either buy Ninja Gaiden 3 on Wii U or Zombie U on Wii U.
He went with Zombie
and
U.
I went with Zombie U. Didn't play it much, but no regrets.
Yeah. No, it sounds like there's regrets.
No, there's no regrets.
It'd be fun to see them revisit, like, the older Ninja Gaiden format, the side-scroller stuff. That would be fun.
Like The Messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to see more of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Game Builder Garage. This one was actually just announced by Nintendo a few weeks ago. Yeah. Coming out on June the 11th.
Yeah, not to sound cliche, but this is one of those games that seems like the limits of this game is imagination.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, what can people come up with this?
How many boobs are in that one?
As many as you make and as many different ways as you want to make them.
I'm on board.
So, yeah, I mean, it's even pitched by Nintendo as like an education or a training game is the genre they have it under. And it's a lot of... assigning commands to these characters that you build, and you can make puzzle games or just like fighting games, racing games. There's a lot of different possibilities, 7 to be exact, on Nintendo's website here. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of community.
It's limited only by your imagination and the number 7
in 7 different genres. But yeah, I mean, I love when they do this kind of stuff, where they just kind of, like, get experimental, and it's almost like they're releasing their own game-building tools that they use themselves, and, you know, selling it to you for a profit, which is funny. But it's coming at a budget price. I think $30 is the price at release. It's kind of fun.
Very cool.
Ender Lily's Quietest of the Nights, I think, gets best name.
Yeah, that's a really good name. And it's not knights as in, like, day and night. It's K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, knights as in, like, medieval warriors.
Yeah.
That was out on the 21st.
This looks pretty cool. It looks very much like Hollow Knight, except you like absorb the souls of dead soldiers and use them to navigate the world.
Like you do in Castlevania. Yeah. Aria of Sorrow, Dawn of Sorrow. Hey Wes, side topic. Now that you've watched the Castlevania animated series, do you have any interest in playing some Castlevania games?
No.
God damn it. Fine.
I mean, I was kind of intrigued. No, end about of question. Because I looked up, it popped up on my PlayStation while I was just looking around at some stuff. I was like, oh, there's a Castlevania collection. It was like all the original ones, and like, I'll play 10 minutes of this. There's no way I'm going to get through this.
Yeah, with all the, like, the 8 and the 16-bit Castlevanias, it's very much straightforward, just side-scrolling action games.
Yeah.
And it's not until you get to, like, Symphony of the Night and everything after that where you get to the more Metroid-style stuff.
I played a really rough one, I remember. I think it was called Rondo of Blood.
Mm.
That one was... It was so frustrating. Like, Wario Land 3 would look at it and be like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, that one, pretty notorious for being difficult and unfriendly. It was also, what was that, Sega Genesis, I think it was on? Something like that?
Maybe. I want to say I played it for maybe our retro show or something. I don't know if I did also on an emulator or what format it was, but...
I mean, maybe I have my platforms confused. Anything else about Ender Lilies?
I like the art style a lot. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like cool things, and this is cool.
You know what's not cool is 21-year-old RPGs. Legend of Mana Remastered is coming out on the 24th. I'm in. I'm 100% in. And it's actually funny because this game, this remaster of a PS1 RPG is actually going to be coming up in our retro show in the same month. It's like they're on to us.
Huh.
The original Legend of Mana came out in June of
2000. So they missed their release date by a full calendar year. They were going to probably do a 20-year look back on that one.
Right. Well, it was probably like one of those things where they were just like ready to hit the release button, but then you know, the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then they all came back in the office like, oh, right, we should have released that.
Someone had their like cup of coffee sitting on it under a stack of paper like, oh, shit, I forgot we had this here.
Damn it, Brian, use a coaster next time.
Are you, by the way, going in order of date?
Yes.
Calendar date?
Yes. You got some?
A couple, actually. Yeah, one that looks interesting is called Fallen Knight. I don't think you brought that one up yet. It looks like it has this very clean, polished Metroid art style that looks like really high FPS and just looks kind of cool. I haven't watched more than just this little trailer blurb that somebody put up here. And it looks very detailed, very, very cool. And it seems like a lot of, like, parry mechanics. Like, you need to have them kind of come at you to God initiate chains of attacks.
Is this...
I'm sick of parry mechanics because I suck at them.
Night as in time of day?
Night is, again, as in Knights of the Round Table kind of thing.
I'm not seeing anything on Nintendo's website.
No, there must not be. I have a release date of June 23rd.
Sometimes they miss things. Like, they don't... last time I looked, they didn't still have the World Ends With You sequel.
Is this also coming out on the Apple iOS? Because I see iOS Apple Arcade gameplay.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of that with games that are coming out on, like mobile, iOS platform stuff, and coming out on the Switch. And, of course, PlayStation, Xbox, all that stuff.
Never heard of them.
Trying to hit any platform they can. Yeah. There's one called Astalon, Tears of the Earth. It's supposed to come out June 3rd.
How are you spelling Astalon?
A-S-T-A-L.
Oh, I found it.
Yeah.
There it is.
And this one looks interesting. It looks like it's like a classic 8-bit, what would you say, like platformer. And you've got three different heroes to play through as. Looks like it's a lot of very intricate stuff and... very tight windows to attack bosses, and they have sweet spots that are only visible for a few seconds, that kind of shit. Really pretty art style.
This art reminds me a lot of Mega Man, like the original 8-bit Mega Man games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that puts us back on track with both. I'm sure you're not going to miss this release. I think this kind of gets you back. If you're saying on the 24th, you got Legend of Mana.
Yeah, and I'm excited for this one. I'm going to be getting it. I don't know much about the Legend of Mana PS1 game. My sort of knowledge of the Mana games is kind of limited to what was on the Super Nintendo and then like the remakes that they've been doing the past couple years. But I enjoyed the Mana collection well enough. I think Trials of Mana the original and the remake were pretty solid games.
That was the BMX one, right?
Yes, where you're a bunch of wizards who are trying to go through these intricate courses on your bikes.
Oh, I want that so bad now.
But yeah, next up on the 25th, Mario Golf Super Rush.
We didn't even bring up when we were talking about Mario Land 3 that there's a golf game in it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, the Wario Land. Oh, God, that game is so frustrating, that golf. Like, I was spamming the shit out of save points when the restore points when it came to that golf, because
I'm actually pretty good at it. I think I mean, granted, I haven't done all of them yet, so I shouldn't say that, but I got pretty lucky, but also pretty good.
Yeah. The thing was, like, there were some, you would be, your maximum power shot would hit the ball farther than you can see. So sometimes, like, you don't have an obstacle in front of you.
You hold right to see the whole thing.
Well, that changes everything.
Yeah.
God damn it.
If you hold right, it'll show you how far you have to go, and it'll show you the sand traps and everything.
I reset save points so many times, son of a bitch.
But still, it's not that user-friendly, because it goes all the way over very slowly, and then it has to slowly slide all the way back to, so you don't get to, like, quickly do it. Basically,
like, you can see the Game Boy rendering the grids.
Well, and it's also, it's all random, and I never, like, I always had so much money that it didn't matter. I think I had, like, 400 coins, and it's like, it's 10 coins to play.
Yeah.
So, like,
I think once you get later, it becomes, like, 30 coins, but it doesn't matter. As long as you're playing the game, that economy doesn't mean anything.
And if you get a par 3, it's like, I mean, those should be pretty easy. You can usually get to the hole in one shot.
And like,
but why are we talking about this? We're talking
the money in that game, and why we're gonna stick with this. The money it doesn't mean, like, it doesn't have any other function.
I couldn't find a second use for it. Yeah, and I had saved up so much of it.
Yeah. Anyway, Mario Golf Super Rush. I'm excited. This game looks so good.
It does look pretty awesome.
I'm pretty pumped. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I don't particularly like golf, like, at all. I don't care for golf. But when it comes to a video game, I really like the...
So you're not celebrating Phil Mickelson's win?
McPhillerson.
McPhillerson, yeah.
It was very cool, though.
Lily Oosthuizen.
The oldest man ever to win a major. Yeah, that was great.
What? Wow. Wes knows.
Yeah, tell us more. I like Phil Mickelson.
He's a lefty. Like me.
Oh, they let him play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are out there. They
I mean, he has to dodge a bullet every once in a while. There's snipers in the trees, but yeah, they let him.
Yeah, they're good. I think he won 6, and then...
Yeah, he won...
It was 4. It was like 6-4.
And that was the German Louis Oosthuizen. That was a great name.
What? No, it was Koepka.
I thought it was Oosthuizen. Prove me wrong, Wes. Prove me wrong, and I'll spot you 3 points on the vocal quiz.
Hey, wait a second.
I don't know.
Minus 3 points.
When I stopped watching it, when Mickelson went, it was Koepka who was behind him.
Oh, okay.
He
was 6-under, and the next he was 4-under.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, they probably tied.
Then maybe both of them had 4-under. Yeah, that's
right.
Good.
Maybe we're both right.
Then you get 2 points for that.
But I like Mario Golf games or golf video games in general because of the sort of intricacy that you need to apply when adjusting for the wind or the slope or the way you want to hook your shot and like putting backspin on it. Like, I like really micromanaging that sort of stuff.
The only thing I was disappointed in while I was watching it was that the fans rushed it. They kind of let the fans kind of come out and then just got out of control immediately, and they just circled the entire green. I'm sitting here watching, waiting for like a fan to like grab the ball and just throw it or something ridiculous. Yeah. Just wait for things to get out of control with it. It was great. There's so many people everywhere. It was just, the green was circled by thousands of people. It was awesome.
So like those fans rushed the green, there's also a rush mode that I don't know how much I'm going to engage with in Mario Golf, because it's like this frantic multiplayer mode, which is not really what I want out of a golf video game. I want to take my time with it. But like, everyone's playing at once. And you can, like, you hit the ball and then you rush to where your ball is so you can hit again, but you can do things to, like, knock other people out of your way or delay them or move their shot. Everyone has, like, powers and stuff. Waluigi figure skates down the fairway for some reason. Charging Chuck, who's in this game, even though he plays football, his power is just, he just picks up the ball and throws it rather than using his golf club.
Good.
I like all these things in concept. In practice, I don't know how much I'm going to engage with that mode. There's a single-player mode where you play as a Mii for some reason. Mii's are back. And that has to do with like the more like stat building part of it. Like you're improving your golfer and going on the tour. And
so am I gonna have to make it me?
I mean, if you buy the game.
So you're gonna play it with the Switch? Like, are you actually gonna do the golf swing thing, or are you gonna play like with the controller?
I might try it for just reporting back here purposes, but I'll most likely
play. Gospel or gossip? It's gonna have pro controller support for swings.
Gossip.
Oh, you're correct.
Yeah.
But Gospel or Gossip, that pro controller is back for Skyward Sword as well.
No, they're... So Wes, should we up the stakes even further? If you lose this Pokemon game, you need to buy Skyward Sword, the Amiibo, and the Special Edition controllers. You're going to be out $150, motherfucker.
No. That's too far. Like, I'm willing to buy it if I lose. Like, if I win, though, I'm not making you buy a game. I'm going to throw my current games at you.
He gets 10 minutes of access to your Switch to delete any save states.
Oh, shit.
That's fine. I have cloud saves.
Why is my Switch factory reset? I don't...
I'm going to have to hide Animal Crossing. That's the one thing I can't get back. You guys, any interest in Mario Golf?
Yeah. I'm kind of interested. I'm not going to buy it, but I'm interested.
We can play some multiplayer?
Yeah, I'm on board.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. That one's out on the same day.
Yay.
As Mario Golf.
I mean, I played a little bit of it. I have this. It's a good game. It's a very faithful re-whatever of the original.
They just give it a facelift to like redo all the graphics?
Yeah, they changed anything? A few things as well. Like, they added more skaters initially, and the immediate like menus and things are very different.
Yeah, the graphics went through a big overhaul. The
graphics got a big overhaul.
The trailer will show you like literally the same sequence side by side of like a guy skating up a ramp or down a thing. Or like one I know is in that kind of that level that looks like the schoolyard lunch area or whatever, and you can see them skating around, and it is admittedly it's got its charm for sure. It's really charming, but it's very low res compared to the new stuff, which looks, you know.
They really put some work into this game, and it's very faithful. It literally is just, it looks exactly the same. It's the same freaking levels.
Yeah.
When you actually comes to the gameplay, and it was great. I was having flashbacks. I was giddy because I put a ton of hours into this way back in the day.
How is the soundtrack? Is it the same?
They added more to it because it's one and two, so I think you just pretty much use everything. But yeah, that one song that everybody knows from Tony Hawk, "Here I Am Again." Doing everything I can.
Yep.
That one. That was in there. That came on. I just lost my shit. I was on board. I was like, "This is the fucking run. Let's do this, boys."
And then finally, at the end of June, we got Disgaea 6: Defiance of Destiny. It's a highly customizable strategy RPG.
I wish I'd done more with this game. This game has got so many
Disgaea.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. It's nonsense.
There's at least 6.
Yeah.
I played a little bit of 5, and I think I played a little bit of 1 back on the PS2. It might have been 2. But I don't know. These things are highly customizable, so the actual missions are balanced to that, whereas you know, some like a Fire Emblem, you have to have you have to really heavily consider the party makeup that you're going in there with. You have to make sure you have a diverse lineup of your cast of characters, your different classes and stuff. You have to make sure you're fucking the right blood relative. And with Disgaea, it's a lot of go in with anything, just kind of grind your way to victory. So, and I think it's exemplified in Disgaea 6 because they have that pitch where you can like grind up to like this max, like level 9,999. You can be doing billions of points worth of damage, and it just like shows the bloat of the series, where the appeal is that you're going to be grinding and creating these massively powerful characters rather than having a balanced strategy RPG. Not saying it's wrong, not saying it's the bad way to make a game, which is not what I want out of a strategy RPG.
That's the kind of creep that happened with Diablo 3.
Mm.
Now it's just like, you know, you hit something and it's like 11.6 billion damage done, but it's like 11.6B. They abbreviate it all for you, but yeah, that's just what happens when you have a policy of not nerfing, and you always patch to, you know, every 3 months or every 4 months.
Mm-hmm. So it's another nice thing when what World of Warcraft did with their latest Shadowlands expansion. They, like, the max level was 120, and then it got switched down to the max level being 60, and the numbers just got much more manageable.
That's a good decision to make. A couple games you missed, though. I don't know if you're still going on.
No, please. That's all I got.
And I'd say you missed them. I don't know if you care at all about
this. No, he missed them. He didn't do his research. He's incompetent.
THQ Nordic at it again, bringing back from the dead Destroy All Humans.
Oh, right.
They've already done that.
I didn't miss that one.
So this is just finally coming out with a Switch release, because they've already done that.
Yeah.
It's been on Xbox and PlayStation.
Never heard of them.
Apparently June 29th, they have a release date for Zombie Ate My Neighbors and
Control. I did miss that one. It's a dual pack of these Super Nintendo kind of top-down action games.
Yeah.
I like Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Very fun. Kind of reminds me of the game that we were talking about at the top of the show. That one that looks very Earthbound-y.
Oh, yeah.
Oddworld.
Yeah.
I said Oddball, but that was wrong.
Stand by.
Also...
Adventure. We were all wrong.
We were all, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, one last one is Sky Children of Light. Oh, looks like this is an indie game. It looks very cool. It's very pretty environments, and it looks like it's a very serene, explore-adventure kind of game with limited risk.
Yep. So, yeah, the games keep on coming. We haven't really had a quiet month so far this year.
Because indie games are a thing.
Yeah, they sure are.
Yeah, the Switch is the indie game console. I mean, that's just where you go for them. It's so good.
And for Mario Golf. Seriously, get on the hype train. It's going
to
be good.
Oh, have I talked to you guys about There Is No Game, that game yet? I've actually been playing it.
I think you mentioned it briefly, but we didn't get to very many of
the best reviewed games on Metacritic right now for Switch releases.
Oh, wow.
Go on.
It's very good. I mean, it's a puzzle game that constantly breaks the fourth wall. You have a narrator that's talking to you, and you're sort of thwarting him in his effort to keep you from playing the game. It's just got a lot of humor to it and a lot of interesting point-and-click puzzle-solving kind of just requires you to sort of poke at the boundaries of the game and do things in an unconventional way that, you know, you would think. Like, if you're given a Pong-style game, beating it will have nothing to do with playing a Pong game. You know, it'll be about doing something that makes the ball leave the actual monitor or something, you know. I don't know. It's fun. Totally recommend it. It was a pretty cheap purchase, as I recall, too. Very, very fun if you want something that's a little more kind of fringe, offbeat.
So the point of the game is to not play the game?
Yeah, the point of the... Yeah, like, so the first thing that you'll do is bring up a language selection screen in which you can't pick the right language. You kind of basically have to start knocking down these flags to advance the game and to kind of... and then this guy just sort of like starts narrating the game, and he's like, "Sorry, there is no game that you can play here." And it's a long, complicated thing with the dialogue, but you know, you then end up basically trying to thwart his every effort to keep you out of it. Then you break through that, and now you're in it, and you're going through other styles of games, like Sam and Max. Like there's one part where you literally have a computer in front of you that you can look at all four sides of the computer, but in the computer itself is playing a Sherlock Holmes style take on a Sam and Max thing, where you're trying to trick these two idiots in the thing to do the things you want to do in the game, while then circling around the computer to turn certain components of it off. All of the puzzles are intricate and very fun. Rarely have I ever found myself... there are a couple of times where I've been stumped, I guess you could say, but just a couple of them are just maybe like, they could have refined that a little bit better, but or like I did something before I was supposed to do it, essentially, so I just forgot to go back and try it again, that kind of stuff. And there's a very generous help system in the game, so if you do feel stumped, you don't have to just sit there and like look up a review. You can just click a couple of buttons and it'll give you four layers of hints, so it's sort of like it generally relates to this, and the second one will be like, you might want to look at this specific thing, and if everyone is like, did you look at this on that specific thing, and the fourth one is like,
here's the answer.
Here's what you need to do. You know, like, yeah, it's that kind of way. A very, very fun game. I loved it. Good couch co-op kind of game where you just pass the controller off or you problem solve together with people. That's cool. All I got to say.
So that's going to wrap us up for tonight. Next up's going to be the Pokemon show. Wes is going down.
Yeah. He's taking you down to Chinatown.
Yep.
Do I want you to play Skyrim or Infamous? Dragon Age?
It's not going to matter. None of these things are going to matter. Like, you can pick whatever game you want, because you're going to lose. And
your dirt back.
Well, it'll be the Pokemon quiz show. It'll be good.
Yeah.
I also finished up a run of Heart Gold. That's what I talk a little bit about.
Nice.
But yeah. So that's that. The end.
So long. Bye-bye.